First Samuel, chapter 17. First Samuel, chapter 17. Old Testament book. When you get there, I want you to go to begin reading at verse 22. Shining some modern spotlight on First Samuel chapter 17, verses 22 through 30. Father God, you're strengthening them a lot and coming to this place again, this wonderful place. Oh, Father God, we thank you each and every one. Father God, bless their hearts. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we ask you to just allow your word to go forward by our mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to come on in, Father God, and as it's already here, allow it to work on our hearts, touch our minds so we can have clarity of understanding. Father God, come against every obstacle right now that's hindering your word. Right now, in the name of Jesus, remove it, oh Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way and do your will. Father God, we know that you're not a respecter of persons. So Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we ask you to touch, heal, and deliver right now through your word. Right now, Father God, whatever's the competent setting, use me in spite of me. Strengthen me right now, mentally, physically, and spiritually right now to deliver your word. Father God, look beyond me and use me in spite of me. Father God, let your word go forth and let it accomplish that which you sent it out to do. Anoint every seat in this place. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding right now in the name of Jesus. Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it. Amen. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at the 22nd verse. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, that's David's eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Wow. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the same manner, after the former manner. Let me read 31st verse. And when the words were heard with David's faith, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now, I'd like to draw a subject from the 24th verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled, talking about the giant. When they saw the giant, fled from him and was sore afraid. I'd like to put a tag on this text. Fear no giant. Y'all got me? Fear no giant. Let me take your seats in the presence of the Lord. David was the greatest king of Israel, whose dynasty ruled Judah for over 400 years. He was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. David belonged to the tribe of Judah. He was born in Bethlehem to Jesse as the youngest of his 8 sons. He began as a shepherd, demonstrating his courage and faithfulness by killing a lion and a bear that had attacked his flock. David began his career by playing the lyre, the lyre, in King Saul's court. That's a harp. He subsequently became his squire. But he became a national hero when he killed the Philistine giant, Goliath. Due to Saul's animosity toward him, David became a fugitive. After Saul's death, the tribe of Judah elected David as king of Judah. I'm not here to give you an unfamiliar story today, but it is a familiar story of David and Goliath. Not only is it a significant religious or Christian story, but this illustration of David and Goliath is used with our secular brothers and sisters when it comes to an individual up against insurmountable odds. And even though they're up against insurmountable odds, seem like they will lose. It seems like somehow they came out on top because of their whatever attitude. Not so for a Christian. If you are a Christian, this is the outcome that you are expecting. You don't know how God's going to do it, but you know he said he will do it. Amen. You've been knowing and walking with God long enough to know that. You ain't going to question how you're going to do it. But you will walk with the authority in Christ Jesus. Amen. That if you don't, if you doubt God, he won't do it. Because you know how it is. If I give us a flashback and give us a little Bible lesson, he went home to Nazareth and they insulted our Lord. And who do you think he is? Because he had a whole lot of word in him. Of course he had a whole lot of word in him. He was the word wrapped up in flesh. All right. Did you know who he is? Can I hang out there for a little bit? Yeah. He's the Alpha and Omega. Uh-huh. The beginning and the end. Right. It was Jesus who stood on the beginning of time and said, let us make man. Let us create the let there be light. It was him. Of course he got a lot of word. He was a humble rabbi walking the earth 33 some odd years. But yet he knows who he was, whose he was, and whom he belonged to. Can I get a witness in here?
Yes.
So now we see that David, the youngest son of Jesse, is on a mission from his daddy. Because if you would check the 17th verse and you back that thing up in your own quiet time, I want to get you to read all of this chapter and read the whole story. But if you back it up a little bit, in the 17th verse, you will find out that Jesse asked David to go and see about his brethren. Can I get on with it?
Amen.
And as I check my theology, Sister Thomas, because I like to read, I have to read. That's what I'm called to do. And I checked it out, is that the reason why he sent him to check on his brother and to take him some food is as I checked Saul, and Saul was the first king of David, first king of Israel. Israel was a young nation. Saul was the first king of Israel. So at this time, Israel had no professional army. even though they knew all about fighting. They knew about fighting. They had some rebel squads out there. They had just been battling with the Amorites and the Jebusites and conquered them. But guess what? They had one persistent enemy that never went away. Those darn Philistines. Never went away. They always was there. Always was a problem. Always showed back up at the wrong time. They always had to do battle with them. You don't think I'm in the book? Come here, Samson. Samson was bound to Manoah just so he could deal with the Philistines. Because the Philistines never went away. What am I saying to you all? Can I come down and sit in our seat with us?
Go ahead.
We always got something that we think we have gotten rid of it. But we have not gotten rid of it. It's just in hibernation. It is on lockdown. But every now and again, it raises its ugly head. Just when you think God got you where he wants you to be, here it goes, your weakest spot. It comes back up in your face to hinder you, harass you, and make you step out of character. Yeah, devil, guess what? But you don't. Can I hang out there for a little bit? It's all right, devil, because we're going to step out of character. But guess what? You don't realize, devil. Jesus came and died, been crucified, been buried, and raised up on resurrection tomorrow. Got all powers out. Guess what? Got the power to give us new mercies each and every day. So just because you know my resume, devil, and you caused me to step out of character, he's going to bless me and forgive me anyway. And I... We have our David called and anointed to be king. But he don't go to the throne after Samuel anoints him. He go back to the sheep. How do you feel when God told you he gonna do something? He said he gonna do such and such a thing with you and with your life. He's called you to great things and it don't happen because we live in a microwave generation, brothers. We want it quick and hurry in a few seconds. We want to put that thing on 60 seconds if we want to be ready.
Yes.
God said, no.
No.
I got a process.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I got a process. He said, I got to get you ready for what I've called you to do.
Yes.
And because I got to get you ready for what I've called you to do, I'll prepare you along the way. I'm doing surgery on you without some anesthesia. And I'm getting you ready for the final product. What you need to do is, you need to cultivate yourself, delight yourself in me, because guess what? You got stuff that's going to be rising up in you that I'm going to have to take off, that I can't cut it off until it come up. Watch this now. Here we go. My day was out watching the sheep. We had a lion that come up and tried to snatch. He did. The scripture says he had the sheep in his mouth. It's a bad boy. He went, snatched the lion by his mane, took the sheep out of his mouth, and killed the lion. The next time the bear came and threatened to take her sheep, then kill the bear. This is the thing. God allows us to have little successes until we get to the big show.
Come on now.
If you're faithful over a few things,
yes. Tell it fast,
right?
Yes.
He said, I'll make you ruler over many.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Can I hang on there? The key is, help your child, Lord. The key is, once we have a success, don't act like that little success is the big thing. Because some of us get so stuck on our little successes that we can't even move forward. We say, well, I did that and this and that. But God got more for you to do. Yeah. We're trying to get you to move on to the next thing. But you were stuck because you killed the lion. Guess what? The lion dead and the bear is dead. Time to move on.
Yes.
Thank you. So he's anointed king. He's got a walk as if he is king. You gotta walk it even though you're not in it yet. That's hard to do. I'm not telling you an easy thing. Because you got folk around you, people, that because you've been called to do something, don't think they see and hearing that.
Right.
They not hearing what God's telling you. There's a rare occasion, and offense those good homegirls and homeboys that stick close to you. They'll believe you if you say you can fly.
Okay.
Thank God for those friends that stick with you no matter what you say. Amen. Thank God for them.
Amen.
They are rare and few and far between. But you got some folk, no matter what you say, don't believe nothing you say. How do I know I'm right about what David done? Once Saul anoints him, once Samuel anoints him, because he had seven other brothers. Y'all hear me? Strong, bustling, he-man looking brothers. Tall. David was small. He's kind of scrawny. Mm-hmm. All his brothers were above 6 feet something. God's a man that wasn't a little fuck. Looking like Billy Dee. Far taller than Dwayne Johnson. Can I say that with The Rock? Y'all ain't feeling it. But David now, and they're not even, David's not even a soldier. But they're in the army. Samuel looked at all of them and said, don't you got somebody else? Because this ain't the one God called me. He said, well, I got one young son. He's not me. I've been watching sheep. Go get him. He anoints him. What I like about that is that's that. God likes to take ordinary people.
All right. All right. Yes. Yes.
That's just, I'm sorry, yes. That's just who he works.
Yes.
And do extraordinary things with them.
Yes.
Because if he did not do it that way, they would say, well, we expect them to do that. Are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
But now he's walking. I know he's walking in that which he's called in. Lord, help me walk through it correctly here. I know that he's walking with his calling because now his daddy gives him an assignment. Watch this. His daddy gives him an assignment. Tell him, go check on your brothers. He leaves the carriage with the carriage keeper, takes the food to the brothers. Once he takes the food to where his brothers at, now he start co-mingling. He start fellowship with the rest of the soldiers.
Yes.
But while he was there, here come that uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath. If you back it up at the beginning of the text, in defense of the brethren in the army, if you would go back to you go to 1 Samuel 17, they tell you, describe Goliath to you. Y'all with me? On your time, read that. Let me put this in English terms with the hot dog. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Some theologians say he was pushing 11 feet. Based on what a cubit is, the size of a cubit. So he was pushing over 9 feet. I'll keep it real, over nine feet, 9 inches. His sword, his spear. If you ever see someone build a house, they say that his spear was like the beam in a rafter. That means that if you ever see them build a house, with the roof going like this, that beam that run through that house, you see how big and thick that beam is and how long it is?
Yeah.
That was what they made his spear out of. The head, the arrow part of the head of the spear weighed 16 pounds. He was fully clothed, not in just armor. It said mail. That means he was wearing solid steel. Who you think will want to fight with him? Are you serious? But they're in the armies of the living God. One thing they did wrong that we're not going to do is we're not going to forget whose we serve. Number one. Because what made them think, even if they decided they want God there by themselves, that God wouldn't be there, they forgot to have a flashback party. This is the armies of Israel. This is Israel that came to the Red Sea. That was led at nighttime by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud by daytime. This is Israel that didn't have to fight in a battle. All they do is show up and find dead bodies all around.
Yes.
This is their
praise him.
Yes.
Jehoshaphat will tell you that. Well, they're forgetting about this. Why are they worried about the giant?
Yes.
Oh, that's the thesis that back up my topic. Fear no giant. Because in this sector where we got upset, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness in there?
Yeah.
I had a friend when I went to high school with Sister Muffet. Every time he got in a fight, the president, when he was a little puny, so he got in a fight with a person two times bigger than Sam. I said, what is wrong with you? Why are you always trying to fight someone bigger than you? He said, take care of two things. If I beat them, they're going to talk about me. And if I lose, they ain't going to say nothing bad about me because you mean to me. He said, so I said, so what make it? He said, I fear nothing.
Okay.
Because I done took some big guys down.
All right.
Here comes David. David said, I'm going to have a flashback. Because when the lion and the bear came up,
well,
I killed them. Because God was with me. He said, and the same God then help me do that, that. Go on, kill, help me kill this uncircumcised Philistine. He said, by the way, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he think he don't go and defy the armies of the living God?
Yes.
David, I'm trying to remember who's y'all, remind y'all who y'all are.
Uh-huh.
All right. You don't have to have no fear. But David said, hey, Eliab says, look at you, what are you talking about? You just come up here just to watch the battle. David says in the text, what have I done?
Well,
can I make a plan for you?
Uh-huh.
They said, well, look at him, done and made y'all mad. Because they were running. He got an army, and he said, what have I done? They said, is there not a cause? Do y'all know how deep that is? Can I translate, is there not a cause for you? It means that, is there not a God, one? Is there not a battle that we have to win? Don't we have a purpose? Are we not called to a purpose? We're the armies of the living God. David was not even a part of the army, but he acted like he was. Why? Can I back that thing up a little bit? He's walking as if he's king. Walk as if you are what God already called you to be.
All right.
Don't worry about the Eliab and say, you can't go fight with this. Are you crazy? You can't fight with this giant. David said, I'm not even thinking really. That. He said, I remember the lion. God help me and the bear. But I remember Saul.
I remember Samuel. Who came and anointed me.
All right.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
He anointed me to be the next king of what? Israel. So, I know I'm not going to die now. Fear no giant when God has spoken a word over your life.
All right.
Once you know what the word of God says, fear no giants. Well, Pastor, the giant, this giant is big and bad. He's awesome. He's bigger than anything. That, let me translate that for you. That means that you ain't never been through nothing like you done encountered something that you ain't never been through before. It's big. It's intimidating. It has a track record of taking other folk and other armies out. Why should you not think that you're not going to be next? But all those that they took out, I don't know whose they were, but I know one thing. I know who called me, whose I am, and what I am, and whom I serve. And his word tells me here that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Didn't say that? I'm going to fear no giant. Oh, yes, I know. I don't have enough money to pay this bill right now. But he said that I'm Jehovah Jireh. He said, I make a way out of no way. It's not my job to sit down in the midnight hour trying to figure out how he's going to make this way out of no way. All I know is that he said he's going to make it. It's kind of hard to train yourself to do that, right? Pharaoh giant. I know I'm right about it. You don't think I'm right about it? I may as well go to my seat then. But let me leave y'all with this thought, Sister Thomas. I get out y'all way. Because I go further on in the text, y'all. They tell Saul, the king, about what David had. They rehearsed. That means they repeated David's words to him. Paul said, Simeon is born. He respected David who he said he was. Because he tried to, he didn't say, boy, you're a boy. This man's a man of war. He's been killing people all his life. He's a personal, he's a specialized hitman for the Philistines. He said, you're just a strong kid. He said, tell you what, since you got so much courage, he said, he's liking on David. Because he got courage. His captain and his host didn't even act like this. He said, let me give you some of my armor. Put on my armor, try on my armor. David put it on, he couldn't handle it. Can I hang out there and let you know why? When somebody try to help you do what God tell you to do, just say, I don't need your help. You can encourage me, but I don't need your help. Because what you got, God don't need that. Because if what you got, God wanted me to use it, he would have got you to do it because your stuff. No, God will let me do this the way he want me to do this. He took off that. He went, I'm going to get there alive because I'm going to my seat. He went to his enemy and he got a slingshot and 5 stones from the brook.
All right.
Well, I try to wonder, and I've said this before, why would he just get 5 stones? Why didn't he just sneak up on Goliath while he slept? He was a little strong boy. Nobody paid attention to him. Why didn't he just sneak in the camp and take a sword and just stick it through his heart? Cut his head off. Cut an arm off or something. Injured him. He did none of that stuff. Do I sound gruesome?
Yes.
Oh. Dealing with the devil, I ain't pulling no punches.
Go ahead, Beth.
But he got 5 stones from the brook. And as I began to read my Bible, it's a dead woman. And I checked out some of these well-known commentators, Sister Ophelia.
Yes, sir.
Matthew Henry, James Clark, Fawcett and Brown. Even Webster got a Bible dictionary. They have a thesis on why David must, they say, because it could not take human men, human strength to kill the giant. Oh, y'all ain't with me. Because the average man, Angie, would have been afraid. Why? Because if he killed this giant, he knew this was not going to be the only giant that he had to kill. Because if you read the text, and them Bible readers up in here, Goliath had some brothers.
Right.
He had some brothers. If you killed my brother, I'm coming to look for you too.
Yeah.
But David said, no. The God of Israel will deliver you into my hands today.
Yeah.
Picked up 5 stones. I had to research that thing, Sister Amy. And I looked, the 5 stones is the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I said, why is it the Pentateuch? Why do the theologians think that? They said, because in that text holds and it contains the covenant between God and Abraham.
All right.
And in that means that Israel was going to be the nation that bring forth the Savior of the world.
Yes, yes.
David was lined up in the lineage of the Savior of the world.
Come on there.
Can I teach this then? And because he was lined up in the lineage of Jesus Christ, that means that everything he touched was going to turn to gold. Everything he fought was going to have a serious defeat. He had to win.
Yes.
David said, I'll take you up with some word. One stone, he lined that thing up and he said the stone, which is some smooth stones out of the brook, landed right in the forehead of Goliath. But he didn't stop there. Watch this now. Watch this. This is how you do when you pray. He killed Goliath. He could have stood there with his feet on top of his body and said, another one bites the dust.
All right.
He killed him.
did? He took a sword, cut his head off, brought Goliath's head to the king. Why he did that, Pastor?
When you pray for God to break some yokes, I don't pray for God to break no yoke. I pray for him to destroy yokes.
Okay.
Why? I don't want Goliath getting back up again.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
He may just be unconscious. He's a big boy. He might be playing possum with me. And guess what? I'm going to make sure he's gone. That's how we do our enemies. That's how we do Satan. When Satan sends some our way, you make sure you pray for God to destroy it. Because guess what? You don't want to have to fight that again. Israel had to fight many nations over again because they did not do what God asked them to do. I'm about done. If you don't remember Ai, it sounded harsh. God said, when you go into this little small city, he said, kill everything that's living.
That's right.
He said, kill everything. He said, all the animals, all the horses, all the children. He said, kill everything. He said, wow, that's hard. They say, no, they didn't do it. Save some of the children. Say something, women. Guess what? They had to go back and fight that nation again.
Yes, yes.
Why? God said, I told you to take them out. Now you're going to fight again. Do any of y'all got time to keep repeating some classes? Hello? Do you got? I don't have time to keep going back on classes. At some point, we need to realize that we ought to fear no giants. Fear no giants. God got our back. He got our back.
Yes.
It may not look like it, but he has our back.
Yes.
I know I ain't got you shot, but I hope you got this.
You got it.
Fear no giants.
Yes.
Fear no giants.